Well, welcome to our study of Numbers. We're in chapter 16, and if you'll remember, we have been reading about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And these three men went before Moses and were rebelling against God's appointed leadership. And you remember what they said in verse 3, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy." In other words, we're all equal here. We can do what you're doing. Pride was rising up. And we talked about Moses' response to that. He didn't get right in their face. He fell on his face before the Lord. And that to me just speaks so much of his character. And also, we were talking this evening about the fact that he knew what his job was. He was in constant communication with the Lord. So he was, I'm sure, pretty confident in his assignment. And so Moses fell on his face, and his response was, "The Lord will show you. Look, the Lord's going to show you who are his." And he said, "Okay, Korah, you and your company, you get your censers ready." And he also reminded them of the assignment that the Lord had given him. "Do you not think, is this a small thing to you? In essence, that you have been assigned with carrying the holy things of God? Is this a small task for you? You want something else, in essence? You're not happy with the assignment God's given you?" And Moses, they were still rebellious. Remember, they said, "Well, you were supposed to bring us into this land of milk and honey. You didn't do it." Just twisting the past. And Moses finally said, "Listen, now you guys get your censers, every one of you. All 250 of you get your censers. You get them ready, and the Lord's going to determine. The Lord will tell us." And so that's where we're picking up in verse 23. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram."
Now, this just reveals the mercy of God, really. Obviously, there's rebellion, sort of breeds rebellion, sort of like mobs. A lot of people in the mob don't even know why they're in the mob, you know, just following the crowd. And so God's given them an opportunity. All right. The essence is this: judgment is about to fall. You have an opportunity. You get away from these people. If you don't get away from them, you're going to go down with them. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And rebelling is not something that God overlooks. It's something that God deals with. And that hasn't changed. He may not do it. Obviously, he doesn't do it the same way that he did under the old covenant. But God will deal with your heart and let you repent. But we're going to find that, I mean, these men are obstinate. They're in obstinate rebellion. And their families, they're with them. Some of them. But I don't want to jump ahead of myself. So, you
can... So speaking about this obstinate rebellion, it can blind you to the things of the Lord, obviously. And so, you know, these men were looking at this thing, naturally speaking. You, Moses, not looking at the spiritual aspect of this is God's appointed leadership. I had been doing some research on blindness a while back, a couple weeks ago. And the Lord showed me that there's three reasons. He showed me three reasons for spiritual blindness. Rebellion. And he gave me Ezekiel 12:2. Ignorance. And he gave me scriptures with Jesus' disciples thinking naturally, not spiritually, and Jesus asking, "Do you not see?" And then, of course, religion. Religion can blind you. Jesus even called the religious leaders of the day, you know, you blind gods. And so these men were so elevated, from my perspective, so elevated in their own pride that it made them rebel against God's chosen leadership. We have to be mindful of the status of our heart, if you will. Why am I doing what I'm doing? What are my motives here? I can be saying the right thing, but my heart looking for something else. Whenever we're focused, let me turn this to me. Whenever I'm focused on myself, my focus is wrong. Bottom line, if I'm focused on me, then I've got a pride issue somewhere. I've got a self issue. I'm focused on myself. I'm focused on what about me. If I hear that "what about me" on the inside of me, that's pride. Got to get rid of that. Nip that in the bud. And that's what these men were dealing with, and they couldn't even see what God was working in that camp. They were blinded.
You know, two of those three that she mentioned were willful blindness.
Mm-hmm.
Rebellion, you're doing it. A willful act, okay? And then religion.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it said to me, "Well, I'm such and such, and I'll die such and such, you understand? And I'm not going to change. This is the way I've been taught." And I had a minister to tell me, I read him a verse out of the Bible. And he said, "I know the Bible says that, but I've always been taught this way, and I can't change." Now, that's willful rebellion against the Word of God. When you see it, see, if you're just ignorant and you see it, then you can make a change.
Right.
But when you're ignorant and someone gives you the light of the Word and you refuse to follow the Word, then that becomes a rebellious thing. And you look at the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they rebelled.
Right.
The religion caused them to rebel. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
A willful act. They had those religious leaders had the same opportunity to learn about the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
They had the same opportunity to experience things that others did, but they chose not to. They chose to rebel against, and ultimately to have the one that they were telling other people about, not the person, but the position, the Messiah, to have the Messiah killed. It's amazing. And, you know, you wonder how a person like Korah, who has experienced the parting of the Red Sea, who has experienced the supernatural cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, he has seen the power of God. He saw the supernatural power of God displayed in Egypt through the plagues and the supernatural release of a nation. But he's so in the flesh that the flesh will blind you to the spirit. Because rebellion, all these things are relating to flesh.
Yeah.
And when you're just looking through the eyes of flesh, you don't see the spirit. You'll never see the spirit naturally.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, he tells you that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And so if you don't yield yourself to the Spirit of God, you're blind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's willful if you just choose not to. You understand? Korah is choosing, and Dathan and Abiram, and this guy named On. Now, the interesting thing about it is we don't see his name anymore. And I don't know what happened to him, okay? But as we go along, you see this. But these men were in obstinate rebellion against God after seeing the supernatural power of God. Pretty incredible when you think about it.
It is incredible. Verse 25. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children.
So their family's standing there with them. Now, there's something that we need to really look at here, okay? Dathan and Abiram were brothers. They were from the tribe of Reuben. Korah, on the other hand, was a Levite from the family of the Kohathites.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it says Moses went to where Dathan and Abiram lived. So where would that be? They count by tribes.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So if he went to the tent of Dathan and Abiram, the place where they were camping, that's separate from where Korah would camp, because the Kohathites were camped on the south side of the tabernacle in between Reuben and the other two tribes, okay? But Korah evidently had gone up to Dathan and Abiram's tent. You follow this?
Yeah.
But just Korah. It didn't say Korah's family. And it's really, that's a real important point here that you need to keep in the back of your mind, okay? Dathan and Abiram's family are there standing with them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it appears that Korah is there by himself.
Okay?
With Dathan and Abiram, obviously.
And Moses said, Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord.
All right. Moses is not taking matters into his hand to prove his authority. As a matter of fact, what he proposes, it's an impossibility for him to do. You with me? And we have no record that he had seen this take place before. That's the interesting thing. So Moses, his proposal, if you will, he just puts this before the people. If these men die a common way, that's one thing. But if they die an uncommon death, to where the earth opens up and swallows them, then you're going to know that this is that what Aaron and I are doing is by the command of God. This will be a sign to you, in other words. You follow me? Now, many of you know that Moses couldn't make the earth open up.
Right.
Not naturally speaking. And so this is going to take something supernatural. Now, this also shows you how confident he is in what God has called him to do.
Yeah.
And how confident he is that God is listening to him and will honor what he says. Okay? So if the earth opens up and swallows them in this uncommon death, and those who are with them, then you're going to know these men have actually mocked the authority of God. Okay? So he's establishing something here. It's a dangerous thing to mock the authority of God. And it's amazing how many people rebel against authority that God has ordained. You understand? Even your civil authorities are ordained by God. These positions of authority are ordained by God. And Paul tells us in Romans they don't wear the sword in vain. They're there to suppress evil. So if you're doing good, you don't have to concern yourself with them. But they are ministers of God, is what he calls them. And so it's a dangerous thing to go against authority. Parents are authority in the house. They're the authority over their children. It's a dangerous thing to rebel against that authority. As a matter of fact, one of the commandments is children, obey your parents. Why? So that your days may be long on earth. In other words, you can cut your life short rebelling against authority. So this is not, to me, there's a principle here that we need to see. It's not just a preacher per se or a national leader per se. But this, to me, this encompasses a lot. Authority that God set. Don't go against authority that God sets. Okay?
I think about, too, just the fact that a house divided can't stand. And these men were dividing the camp, so to speak, of we want to be in leadership. And
it's affecting the whole nation.
It does affect the nation. 250 people are siding with this rebellion. And today, by today's standards, boy, it would be real harsh to say, we're going to get rid of this, kill them. But you think about what they were on the brink of, getting ready to go in and possess the land that had been promised to them. They needed to be a united force to get that task accomplished. Because were there fortified cities? Yes. Were there walled cities? Absolutely. Were there giants? Yes. They needed to be unified. But, and I understand that Moses wasn't the one that took them in, you understand. But nevertheless, the people needed to be unified to get the goal accomplished.
He would have taken them in had they not rebelled. Now here again, you know, Korah has accused Moses of not taking them into the land flowing with milk and honey. He did take them there. They refused to go into the land. And so they rebelled against Moses. The reason they had not gone into that land was because of rebellion against the word of God. They wouldn't follow the leadership is trying to take them in. And then during that 40 years, all this time there, they always murmur, complaining, and going against Moses, going against there. And finally, Moses finally gets so mad he missed God. And that kept him from going in. You understand? But the rebellion had already taken place. Now it's just intensifying. You understand? By not going into the promised land, they rebel. Then the rebellion is going through the camp. Now, here's Dathan, Abiram, Korah. They're going to carry this rebellion to a greater extent. You know, we'll just take over. Well, that's a dangerous place to be.
Verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertaineth unto Korah, and all their goods.
So after Moses has made his statement, if these guys die an uncommon death, and the earth opens up, you're going to know God sent me. Once he made that proclamation, the ground under their dwelling, the dwellings of Dathan and Abiram, split. The earth opened its mouth, as it says, and swallowed Dathan, Abiram, and their children who were with them, their tents and all their possessions. And then it says Korah and all those who conspired with him went into the grave of life.
Yeah.
So Korah had to be there too, right? Mm-hmm. That's why we made our statements earlier. And then the earth closed over them. It opens up, takes them in, and then closes back in over them. In other words, they vanished out of sight. There's no getting out of this. Buried alive, if you will. Okay?
Yeah.
God honored Moses' word. Now, what does this mean? God put his stamp of approval on who's the leader. This is who I ordained. I didn't ordain them. This is who I ordained. Now you would think that the rest of the nation would take note of that. Wow. We're not going against God. Look what happened to them. We better recognize this authority. But that's not the way it was.
And they had just seen what had happened to Miriam.
Yeah.
When she and Aaron, short memory. But let's take a look at Numbers 26, and let's see what Numbers 26, if you'll turn with me.
Verses 9 through 11. That's...
Okay. Numbers 26, 9 through 11. And the sons of Eliab, and Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram. This is that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron and the company of Korah when they strove against the Lord. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not.
That's what I wanted you to see. And you'll find that when you look at the Psalms, some of the Psalms that are written are of the sons of Korah. Okay? And so what that tells me is they didn't side with their daddy in the rebellion. And so the sin of the father was not passed on to his children. You understand? Each man dies for his own sin. Okay? And it's important to see that because so many people think that the sin of their father is being passed on to them. And what happens is the devil wants you to think that, to where you think you're under this curse and there's nothing that you can do about it. And the truth of the matter is whom the Son sets free is free. When you're redeemed, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You understand? And so you're liberated from that. And so I'm not paying for what my mom and daddy did. You understand? Now God is judging me off of me. And we have to take responsibility for our own actions. you understand. But I thought it was very important that you realize that Korah's sons didn't die when he did. They're evidently still in the camp of the Kohathites, not up with the Reubenites. Okay?
That's good. Thank you. Verse 34 of chapter 16. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also.
Now you think about this. You, if you stand in there as a spectator, you're way back and you see what's happening and you hear the, see the earth open and the people falling down, screaming or whatever into the hole. Would you run? I don't know how far that earth's going to open. You know what I mean? And so they run away. They're afraid the earth's going to swallow them too. He's only swallowing the rebellious. Mm. You understand?
35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense.
Now, we just sort of fast forward there. We don't see what was all involved. What we know is Moses said, all right, and we don't know who the 250 men were, okay? We don't know who that company was, but they were incited by Korah, okay? All we know is there's 200, or what the King James Version anyway says, 250 men that are offering incense, and God kills them. It says fire came down from heaven and killed them. They're in rebellion. Now you have to remember what Moses said, all right? You guys bring your incense, mm-hmm. and you offer it. Aaron offers his. Let's see who God accepts. Well, obviously God didn't accept them. God had made his choice, and God is revealing his choice. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Korah challenged God's appointed leadership and incurred the judgment and punishment of God. And so what we need to do is look at the example. To me, the example of Korah illustrates the importance of being content in the position that God sets you, operating in that anointing. And when I say anointing, that means what God set you apart to do. You're operating in that anointing. And you're to be content there. You understand it's not what the position is. Is am I where I'm supposed to be? Usurping the authority of God and promoting self will never be accepted or condoned by God. It will be dealt with. Somewhere down the road, that will be dealt with. You with me? You're not going to get the position that God didn't put you for. You may take it temporarily, but you won't last. He'll take you out.
Mm.
You understand? How many people have rebelled against authority in the church? Run the authority off. Somebody wants to stand up and take it, but then they get run off or something happens. You know, God doesn't overlook this stuff. He's never overlooked rebellion, and he never will overlook rebellion. He will deal with it. Read the Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out he'll deal with it harshly.
And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hollowed.
Now, this is pretty incredible. When you think about it, these men have brought those censers. These men are in rebellion, and they're killed as a result of it. But yet God says to Eleazar, Aaron's son, who is a priest, go gather up those censers. Wow, they're holy. They were offered to me. So you gather all those things up. Even though they were in rebellion, they were being used toward me. Gather them up. They're sacred. And then you just scatter the fiery coals away from the tabernacle.
The censers of these sinners against their souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they are offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel.
Now think about that. Take those censers, hammer them out into plates, and use that to cover. In other words, it'll be a covering for the altar, because they presented these censers before the Lord, they're sacred. Now, he says, you make this covering, and that's going to serve as a reminder to the descendants of Israel that no one but Aaron and his descendants are to approach the Lord at the altar of incense. No one. So every time they see that covering on the altar, that's to be a reminder. Don't rebel. You see what happened to these guys? Then let that be a lesson to you. And he said, anyone who did approach his altar to offer before God that God hasn't ordained, he said, you'd be destroyed. And that's pretty incredible when you think about it. He said, just like Korah and his rebellious followers were destroyed. And if people could get a revelation of how God views things, I think it would put a healthy fear in the hearts of people. And then we'd get a lot more accomplished just by doing it God's way. Isn't that amazing? We could just do things God's way. But people think they have a better idea. And then you see the mess that we're in today because people think they have a better idea than God. They don't want to do things God's way. And sadly, it's the pulpits are filled with people who don't want to do it God's way. People are seeking a name for themselves. All types of motives that we were talking about this afternoon. There's so many motives. A lot of people preach, and I know I've had some friends, okay, early on ministers, that the pulpit turned them on. A stage turned them on. It was like a theatrical place. I mean, man, look at that crowd. Ooh, boy, I'm going to shine tonight. That's self. That's self. You understand? And so what we have to realize is the awesomeness of that holy place, in that this is God's time, and it's extremely important that we say what God says, that we do what God wants done in that time. It's not about a name. It's about the name of Jesus. And we have to keep that focus. Don't try to take what God has not given you. But by all means, utilize what God's given you. God puts you in a position, then feel the responsibility and then respond according to your ability. And then you'll please God. With this realization, I will give an account for how I conduct myself in this position that He's put me in, regardless of what it is. You understand? And if that don't sober you, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
Ministry to me, and you have to understand how I say this, but it's still scary to me. To know that you're going to stand before people and you're going to influence people. Am I taking them to God? Is this about God? Or is this about self? And too many people, it's a performance. It's a lecture. It's orators. Or it's comedians these days. Just find the stage and tell your jokes and make people laugh. And, oh, you growl, you draw a crowd. But where's the Lord? See, now you're keeping the Lord out, so you're rebelling against the Lord. It's a dangerous place to be.
Let's look at verse 41 together. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord."
How quick we forget. You just saw what happened. God just put his stamp of approval on his leadership. People who rebelled against it were killed, and now they're rebelling and accusing Moses and Aaron of killing God's people. Isn't that amazing? How stupid can you be? I mean, you think about it. They saw how God dealt with rebellion, and now they're rebelling. That's like putting a knife to your throat. Now, we'll find after the break, our time's up here, but we'll come back after the break, and you'll find that many of them lose their lives as a result of this. Here again, God is not going to tolerate rebellion.